Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Last week, we went over the flood of Noah, and we stayed dry. And it took 4 days to have the chart typeset. So here's what the chart will look like that you will get in the coming letter. Okay? Now then, let's just review the calculated Hebrew calendar for just a bit. Calculated Hebrew calendar is based upon lunar months and solar months. The Roman calendar, which we have today, is a solar calendar. It does not take into account any of the lunar months. Now, how do you reconcile so you can have the calculated Hebrew calendar, which is a lunar solar calendar? That's where the 19-year time cycle comes in. It's not an invention plucked out of the air. It is a mathematical determination that the closest that the lunar months and the solar months come to near exactness is 19 years. And the difference is 2 hours. So how do they compensate for the 2 hours? Well, you do just like they do for the leap year in the Roman calendar. You collect the quarter of the year for three quarters, then you have a leap year, which we have this year. And strange as it is, there are five Sabbaths in this coming February. That's a very rare occurrence. Okay? So then, that brings in an extra day with the 29th day, which reconciles the difference. Well, with the 19-year time cycle, they take the 2 hours and do the same thing, and then they advance 1 day. So then that coordinates it and keeps it all going. Now, in addition to that adjustment in the 19-year time cycle, there is a 247-year time cycle. And this 247-year time cycle then coordinates everything to bring it in balance again. Now then, back to the calculated Hebrew calendar. In the calculated Hebrew calendar, there are 12 months, or 12 years rather, that has a common year. A common year. Common year is 12 months. Then there are 7 leap years. And the leap years have an extra month. Okay? So as you look on your calendar card, and we'll get a new one out, you see that things come along with a deficiency of 20 days. And then it's caught up. That's because the sequence of adding in the leap year. The leap years are determined, and I forget the exact years, but there are 7 of them, and year 19 is always a leap year. Now, common year. Common year can have 353, 354, or 355 days. All of that depends on the movement of the moon. Why? The movement of the moon is very peculiar. Sometimes, after the setting of the old moon, before the first rising of the new moon, it's less than 14 hours. Sometimes, it is almost a day. That's just the way the moon operates. Sometimes it's closer to the earth. How many remember a couple months ago the moon was really big and close to the earth? Sometimes it's far away from the earth. And sometimes the orbit is a little wobbly. In the calculated Hebrew calendar, all of those factors are taken in. Okay? Now, one other thing. In observing the new moon, many times what appears to be the new moon is not the new moon on the calendar. Why? Why? Because sometimes from the new moon to the full moon is 13 days and some odd hours. So therefore, you have to have a postponement so you will have the full moon on the proper day. Okay? Sometimes from the new moon to the full moon, it's almost 16 days. But on the calendar, the full moon is the 15th of the month. And so the first month and the seventh month, you must have the 15th day of the first month and the 15th day of the seventh month with a full moon. Now let me explain about the full moon. There's only one instant when the moon is absolutely full. In between, it's waxing or growing toward it, and then waning from it. But viewing it on the earth, it looks like a full moon. Now, it's very interesting that there are 2 days of full moon. Now, why is that? That's so that everywhere on earth, those who keep the 15th of the first month and the 15th of the seventh month will be doing it on the full moon day. Okay? Because when you look down on the earth from space, let's start with New Zealand. Okay? Sunset comes, here comes the Sabbath, or we can say the 15th day of the first month. So on the 15th day of the first month, down in New Zealand, they look west, and they see the full moon. Now the full moon goes around and it takes 24 hours for it to get clear around the earth, correct?
Okay. Back to where it was.
Back to where it was. When it gets back to where it was, it's waning. Okay? That's why the calculations. Now, when I did the videos on the calendar, I did 4 of them. There was an experiment done by 2 crews. One crew was on a mountain high, and they were watching for the new moon. Another one was below them at a lower altitude, way lower. So the group that was on the high altitude saw the new moon 14 hours and some odd minutes after the old moon had set. Those in the valley at the same longitude did not, same latitude rather, did not see the new moon. That's the problem with visualization. If you're up high, you may be able to see it. If you're down low, you may not be able to see it. But that doesn't mean it didn't occur. So if you wait until the next night, then that's viewing the second night rather than the actual new moon. All right. Now, calculated Hebrew calendar is worked out so that it, the first day of the first month and the 15th day and the seventh month and the 15th day always have a full moon. Always. I've never seen it vary, and I've watched it now, and I was baptized. Well, it'll be 60 years in October coming. Okay? Never miss. Okay? Now then, once you have the proper calculations, then you can go forward in time and be correct. And what's important, you can go backward in time and you can be correct. Now then, when I did the Noah's flood, and here's the chart, the chronology that came up with 2369 BC for the flood was a chronology by Carl Franklin. Now, when you do chronologies, you can get the year almost accurately, but you can't tell in the year that you do in finding through genealogy, you can't tell if it's a common year or if it's a leap year. But the calculated Hebrew calendar will tell you. And it was properly preserved. Now, I read the whole book, Sanctification of the New Moon, written in Hebrew. I didn't read the Hebrew, I read the English translation by Maimonides. Now, the Western Jews, that is, those Jews who escaped Palestine to get away from all the war and the Muslims there, they were in northern Spain, and they preserved the text of the Old Testament and preserved the calendar. Now, stop and think for just a minute. Some people will not agree that God is able to cause the Jews, who were very rebellious and rejected Christ, to preserve the calendar and the Old Testament. But they did, because God made them do it. Can God make people, even carnal people, do what he wants them to do? Yes. Can he make even enemies of God speak blessings to his people because God wants them to speak blessings and not curses? That happened. The one who did it was Balaam, right? See? So, it's not dependent upon human frailties and mistakes. It's dependent upon what God gave to the priesthood for calculating the times. And when they talk about observing the new moon, it's always balanced off with the calculations. And the calculations always prevailed. Now then, one last thing on observing the new moon. The Muslims today have just a lunar calendar. They don't take into account the solar events. So therefore, their Ramadan goes backward about 10 days every year. The way that they determine when a month starts is this way, and they can only do it because of modern communications. They have three locations where they have three experts watching for the new moon, and they're in communication with each other as they're observing. If one of them sees the new moon and the other two don't, then they postpone one day. If two of them see the new moon, they declare the day. Now, what's the difference? Because on the earth, different places, it will appear at different times. And it will appear in the west before it appears in the east. Okay? Now, since the question is, what did they do before modern communication? Well, they weren't spread around the world. So it was pretty much in the Middle East. Yes. Now then, let's talk about the flood of Noah. As I mentioned last week, when I was doing it, I first asked Ron Carey, because on our website, we have calculated Hebrew calendar. You want to know what year? You just put in the year and boom, you get the whole calendar right there. So I asked him to send me a calendar with 385 days. So it turned out to be that in 2014-2015, that was a leap year with 385 days. But in going through and trying to work out the chart, I found that that 385-day calendar had the release of everyone out of the ark on the Sabbath. So I said, no, I need a calendar because the calendar will start on Monday, Thursday, or Sabbath. The first one I had was on Sabbath. So he sent me one that was on Thursday. So I went through that. And I tried the 355 days, and I tried the 360 days. And you have to have everything matched so that when they come out of the ark on the 27th day of the second month of the second year, that that's when everything comes together. Okay? So those dates didn't work. So I said, okay, I'll go through and just do it this way. 7 days, they're in the ark before the rain comes. 40 days rain, that can't be part of the 150. The second 150 decreasing, you cannot have the 40 days. Let's go to the chart that we have here. Let's go to the 8th month, 2369, the last day of the month, next to the last day of the month. Okay? 150 days ends on the 29th day of the month. The 30th day of the month, then the waters start receding. Now then, you look at the days counting, so you go down to day 31, that is month 10th month, and it says the tops of the mountains of Ararat were seen. Now when you consider the waters coming as high and 18 feet higher than Mount Everest, you've got almost six miles of water, okay? 5-point-something miles of water deep from sea level. Now, Mount Ararat, they're 17,000 feet high. So when they saw the tops of it, it was just below 17,000 feet. In other words, on the 10th month, the first day, they see them, but there's still 3.2 miles of water to go down. So where does the 40th day go? Well, if you look here, in the 10th month, the first day of the month, there's still 2.3 miles of water. But you come to the 9th day, which is day 40, it's just below 3 miles. All right? This means that it's at about the 12,000-foot level on the mountains of Ararat. Okay? So this could not be the time where he starts sending out the dove and the raven. So that has to go at the end. Now, what blew me away, because I just numbered the days, just like they were in the Bible, and come here to the next to the last page, where it is the 14th month, then Nisan, the first month of the next year, 2368 B.C. Now notice, the first day of the first month of the second year, Genesis 8:13, the waters were drying up, and that was day 150. Therefore, the 40 days had to be after that. So then we have the 40 days, turn the page, and you come to the last month. And the 40th day, and it says, after 40 days, the last month, day 11 is the 40th day. So then here's where we opened the window and let the dove and the raven out, and they came back. Then he waited 7 days. So on the 19th, so you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then after 7 days, he sends it out again, and the dove returns with an olive leaf. Then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and he sends them out again, and they don't come back. That's the 26th day of the second month. It says that the land was dry, and God let them out of the ark, all out of the ark, on the 27th day of the second month of the second year. So there you have it. Okay? Now, think of this. If that leap year were 383 days, that would not have worked. If it were 384 days, it wouldn't have worked. But 385 days, it came to the very day. Just by sitting down and going through the whole year and numbering it all out. Okay? Now then, I got an email from someone. Okay. See, and I'm glad I get emails and everybody keeps up on you, right? Which is good. So it says, he says, I recently attained a Don Roth presentation of calendar of Noah, which he figured out 385 days. Okay? It is not a word-for-word reprint. However, it was done by Carl Franklin, and I did not know Don Roth's article until just last week. That's me writing back, okay, because he said he got it, compared it, okay. Now then, I went on to explain, because he said that there was a, so I explained to him that I didn't take it from him, I didn't know him, I didn't know anything about it till I just got it. But when you're dealing with the same dates, the same number of days, if the math is correct, it's undoubtedly the same. Yeah. Okay. Now then. Then he wanted to know, how do you figure the year of creation? Now that's a good question everyone wants to know. Okay. So, number one, I did not know Don Roth's calendar of what he says the time of creation. Number two, before God recreated the things on the earth after the rebellion of Lucifer and the angels, the sun and the moon and the stars were already created long before. Okay? And we do not know exactly when the earth was created, but we find in the book of Job chapter 38 that when God created the earth, the angels sang for joy. Okay? So how long after God finished the original creation of the earth was it before the angels rebelled with Lucifer? We don't know. However, since the earth and moon were created before there was a rebellion, the earth and moon were apparently moved out of their orbital relationship to whatever degree, we don't know. However, after God renewed the surface of the earth for mankind, on the fourth day, he set the sun, the earth, and the moon in their proper relationship again. So the truth is, we do not know exactly when the original creation took place. Nor do we know exactly when the rebellion took place. Nor do we know when the first flood took place. Nor do we know how long was the earth flooded completely. That being said, the proper calculation of the calculated Hebrew calendar, once it was restored by God, we can go forward ad infinitum. We can do exactly the same thing accurately, go backwards ad infinitum. Okay? Now, when I started to do this Noah's flood chart, I did not know that 2369, the year that Carl determined was the flood, was 385 days. So when I asked Ron Carey, please send me 2369 BC, bam, it came back and you see the result of it, see? So here's what we know, and you can watch this very soon. You can watch it today. The year of the flood was 2369 BC, and you can see why that is verified by day numbering of the entire episode and so forth. So then, he wanted to know what was the day of creation or recreation by Carl, and that's 4004 BC. Now, other than that, I don't know anything else. But that's enough for us to determine what we need to know. Okay? Okay. Question is, in Isaiah 45, it says, God created the earth for mankind, and he didn't create it in vain.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, is he talking about the original earth, or is he talking about the recreated of the original earth for mankind? The best we can determine is this. In the book of Jude, it says the angels kept not their original habitat. Okay? So, they were on the earth. And was it that they were to help mankind and they didn't want to do it? Because once mankind went through the whole process of what God is doing with them, they would be over the angels. And is that why they rebelled? I don't know, so I better ring the cowbell here, because some of this is some speculations here. But all of these things are interesting, but very, very hard for us to figure out or determine. Okay? Now, let's shift gears and go and do something entirely differently. One more question. Okay. Okay. If God originally created it for mankind, then why did he have the angels here, living here, and what they were doing? So phase one must have been for the angels. How God was going to work that out, we don't know, but the flood and the rebellion and the flood, that we find the earth was flooded. Okay? So, it talks about creation in relationship to what God did the first 7 days in creating and making the Sabbath and so forth. So we can't determine whether Isaiah 45 is speaking of when the angelic realm was in control and then they rebelled and then God made it for man. We don't know how God made the division there. Doesn't tell us. Okay, so we're covering a lot of things that people often like to ask questions about, and our answers of necessity are incomplete. We can speculate on it, but speculation is not fact, even though it can be logical. Remember, all logic is not truth, but all truth is logical. Okay? Let's come here to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, remember, one of the groups out there is saying that God the Father was the one who was on the earth and it wasn't Jesus Christ. Now then, in order to justify it, because that's not the truth, you have to come up with something else. So, in John chapter 1, verse 1, so let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was like God, is what they are saying. Okay? That would require the addition of another Greek word. And that Greek word is homoios. And it's not there. The Greek is very clear. In the beginning was the Word. And the Greek there is ein, which is past tense for is, which is istin. In the beginning was the Word. It means he was there before the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, the way that is in the Greek, it is kai logos, kai theos ho logos. The Word was God. Because you can have in Greek sentences reading backward, and to translate it into English, you have to put it the other way around. And it does not have the definite article. And this in the Greek signifies that logos, being theos, had all the qualities of God that hologos, the God, had. Okay? This is why God had it written in Greek. The Greek is tremendous. Okay? Now let's read on. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now here's another thing in Greek. The word light, or life rather, is he, zoe. That is a feminine gendered noun. That does not make Jesus a woman. Okay? Because all proper nouns have articles. masculine, feminine, and neuter. Now, we covered that in John 14. The Comforter is masculine, but the Holy Spirit is neuter. So this is why they do a sleight of hand to say there is a third God, the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 5, or finishing verse 4. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. The light is a neuter noun. Tophos. What word do we get from that? Photographic. Right? How do you get photographic? With light. Verse 6. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might testify concerning the light. Now here we have concerning Christ. He's called the Word, Hologos, masculine. He is called the life, He, Zoe, feminine. He is called the light, Tophos, neuter. Lesson number one, descriptive nouns do not change the gender of the main noun. Okay? But that's interesting, and I can show you, we'll do this sometime, but I can show you in John 14, the word Father is spelled four different ways because of the different ways of conjugation and cases and so forth. But it's still Father. Now, English is simple. Father is Father is Father is Father is Father spelt the same way. Not so in Greek. Okay? Jesus is called Jesus, Jesu, Jezo, Jezon. All spelled differently. So you have to be knowledgeable of the Greek in order to understand that that is telling us something. When it's Jesus, that's the nominative case. When it's Jesu, it is of Jesus. When it is ho, Jezo, it is for Jesus. If it is ton, Jezon, it is to or toward Jesus. So all of that is in the Greek, and it's all intermixed, and there is no definite way of the order of the verbs and the nouns in a sentence. It's all how they are spelled. So it gets a little tricky. Now then, you cannot have like they have here in the first part, that logos, ein, homos, theos, like God, because the word isn't there. Now, what do you suppose this is setting up for? That Jesus was a created being, right? We're made in what? The likeness, image and likeness of God, correct? Now then, let's go one step further, and then we'll take a break. Let's come to Luke, the first chapter. Now, remember what we covered when we first started with this heresy, that God the Father was the one who was the God of the Old Testament. And what did we discover in the Old Testament? The Lord God and what?
The Most High.
The Most High. Okay? Now, here in the New Testament, Luke, the first chapter, the angel came and talked to Mary in verse 30, first chapter. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found grace with God. Okay? For behold, you shall conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now notice very carefully. Verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Is that not the same as the Most High? Yes. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his forefather. That agrees with John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the life, he was the light, okay? He was the Logos. Now, let's look at a couple of other things here in John, which will add to it. Well, we've gone a little far, so we'll go ahead and take a break and cover that afterwards.